So hopefully you'll listen to what I got going on here tonight. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, that's where we're going to start. We're going to go through, what I'm going to do is give you four examples of a certain thing here. Three things that we can learn and three things that we shouldn't do. And then we'll be done. 10 minutes tops. Gone. All right? All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to open your word. I pray that you'd give me the wisdom. Lord, speak through me. Just a vessel. And this is your word, and we believe it to be so. And I pray, Lord, you bless our time in it tonight. In your name, amen. All right. It's kind of neat that these certain phrases that you hear on a regular basis, you know, that and then you're reading a passage of Scripture and you see that phrase and you're like, oh, that's where that came from. That's not original. It came from the Word of God. One of them right here in verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, right? There it is. There it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, here they come. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake on him, saying, tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? And who is this? And who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or men? All right, so here, you know, you ever have one of those days? Seriously, here Jesus had one of those days. And all he was doing right. He was doing right. He was doing right. And so the story goes on, they couldn't answer him. You know, they're like, well, if we tell him this, we can't look bad. You know, it's just all about them. You know, we can't look bad in front of all these people. And then he goes on and tells them, basically, you know, if you believe like these guys, you're going to end up in hell like they're going to. You know, just, you know, you ever think about this? Next time Mormons show up at your house, this is just something I thought of, you know, maybe they don't want to record this. Just an idea. Mormons show up at your house and you're not getting anywhere with them. You know how they like to argue and, you know, because they're stuck in their traditions and their stupidity. If they start arguing with you, just, hey, call all the family all together. Hey, kids, mom, come on down the door here. You see these people? If you believe like they do, you'll end up in hell just like they're going to. Just tell them. Let something like that sink into their head and into their mind. They're not going to listen to you, and you don't want to hear what they got to say. So just get it over with. You know, it's just an amazing thing. All right, so Jesus is having one of those days. He's just teaching the people, and here comes the people that are going to question him on what he's doing. You know, like on the street corner when you're preaching. Well, that's not the best way to do it. I'm a Christian, and there's a red flag. I am a Christian too, and, you know, there's a better way to do this. I had a lady do that to me on Nicollet Mall. I said, show me. Show me this better way. And she's like, well, I got to go. I got time right now. You know, they're just... It's like we're giving them a bad name, like we're mentioning them personally, and they're just like, oh, this is terrible. But we're going to go through three other examples here now of guys that had one of those days. Okay, Christ had one of those days. He had the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious fanatics of the day, come up and, you know, why, what authority? You know, and they're questioning everything he's doing. You know, here's a guy that's healing the sick, raising the dead, you know, healing everybody in sight, blessing everybody, and they're questioning what he's doing. I'd be like, man, I want to hang out with this guy. What? This? He's got something going on. I want to be with this guy, but no. We're the religion. We're in charge here. Who gave you? Do you have a permit to do this? Have you had people ask you that at a door when you're knocking on doors? Have you got a permit to do this? I got it right here. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. You argue with God. Okay, so let's keep going here. We're already almost 10 minutes. Turn to Acts 14. Acts chapter 14. I'm not going to read the whole stories. You guys know these stories. If you don't, take the time to go home and read them. These people are amazing, but the things that we may face in the future could get to be like this. You know, I'm not saying people are going to take us outside the city and stone us, but we don't know. You really don't. You know, the government and everybody's trying to create this utopia where everybody gets along with everybody. It's never going to happen because everybody's got their own ideas. You know, at the workhouse, I had the idea of respect. They say, you don't respect me, I won't respect you. That's their idea. So here you got 10 people standing in a circle. I use this illustration. I said, you got these 10 people standing in a circle. Every one of them is waiting for the other guy to respect them. And what's it going to cause? Friction? Fighting? Arguing? I said, you got it all wrong. You respect everybody until they deserve not to be respected. You know, that's the way it is. But, you know, it's just, the world is messed up. God already made a perfect world, and man messed it up. Why do you think you have a better idea? Throw the Bible out. Oh, good idea. Boy, that's a classic. All right, let's look at starting in verse 15 and saying, sirs, why? Here they're trying to treat them like Jupiter and Mercury. They're worshiping these people because they healed this lame man. Go down to verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit his disciples stood around about, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Okay, so that's a bad day. That's one of those days, isn't it? You know, this isn't going to sound better. I'm sure Paul didn't think he was going to get stoned that day. Right? You know, he wasn't thinking, I'm going to go out here and just get rocks pelted at me. How do you think that felt? Have you ever thought about that? These guys are throwing rocks at him. Big rocks. And they're from all sides. I remember me and my brother were down at when we lived up in Malacca on the farm, we were down on the river fishing. There was a bridge by our farm, and we had this, everyone, when the fish weren't biting, we'd grab big rocks and we'd clear them up the top of the bridge and drop them and see how big of a splash we'd get. You know, that was in our entertainment. That was pretty cool. And so we're under the bridge one day, and I grab this rock and I'm going to throw it, and I threw it over my head like this. The only problem was my brother was sitting below me. Pow! Right in the back of the head. You know, so he runs home, he's crying, and, you know, I stayed there for about 4 hours because I didn't want to see my mom. You know, I just threw a rock and hit my brother, not on purpose. And whenever we did that, you'd get the welt on. And my mom used to take a butter knife with a cold blade and stick it on there. That would bring the swelling down, supposedly. But anyways, you can try that. But imagine how that felt. Here he is. He's doing right. And here they come. Here come the Jews from Antioch and Iconium. They travel all the way over here to stir up the people against these guys that are preaching the truth. And they stone him. They take him out and stone him. And they thought he was dead and left him there. Boy, we sure showed him. That's one of those days, isn't it? What a bummer. I mean, that had to hurt. I mean, just unbelievable. Let's go back to Acts chapter 7. Let's see another one. Acts chapter 7. My favorite character in the Bible, I guess, if you want to... I mean, story is just amazing, the story of Stephen. Verse 51. You know, he just got done laying down the law and telling what it's all about. And then he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And ye have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." So they, as you know, they didn't take too well to this. They're the religious people of the day. They didn't like this, and now he's fronting them off in front of all the Jews. Oh, we can't have this happen. And they get all ticked off and the gnashing of teeth, and they go and what do? They drag them out and they stone them. It's a bad day. It's one of those days. This is not a good situation. All Stephen was doing was telling them the truth. He was preaching what was right. You guys murdered the Messiah, whether you want to accept it or not. And obviously they didn't. But what a testimony Stephen ended up having through all of this. And Paul, we'll see this here in a little bit. I'll go into it more. Let's go on to the next one, Daniel chapter 3. You're all familiar with these stories. You know what's going on. You know, and here's the thing. Every one of us has one of those days. You go to work, nothing's working right. The machines aren't working right. You're around people that are cussing. You're around people that are using the Lord's name in vain. You're around people who could give a hoot what you believe. They don't believe the Bible. They've come through education, and the Bible and God are just a myth. You know, we're educated. Well, I go to church. Really? Go to the cuss and beer drinking church. That's the one you go to? Sorry. That didn't mean it. All right, I'm sorry. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, Daniel chapter 3. Here's three guys. One of those days, man. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15 through 18. Now, if ye be ready at that, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship an image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye will be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? What a challenge. What a stupid challenge. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, they're doing right. They're standing up for the truth. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And these guys, this king who is not getting worshipped, he's the religious guy, he's the king, you're supposed to worship this guy, this isn't sitting well. They take him and throw him in a fiery furnace. Now, you ever burn your hand? You know, you singe the hair in your hand, or you get something like that, or known somebody that's been burnt? You think about what these people have gone through. You know, we have somebody badmouth us, and we get all bent out of shape. You know, this isn't part of the deal, but I'm preaching to myself. We have such a fear of man. We fear what people are going to think. Well, I should say I think that way sometimes. And I neglect to do what I'm supposed to do. Here these guys are standing before kings. They're standing before the Sanhedrin. They're standing before all these people, and they don't care. I know what's right. I know what's true, and you're going to hear it whether you like it or not. And they did, and they didn't like it. And two of the three got stoned, the other three got thrown in a fiery furnace. That's one of those days. And it's just like, you know, imagine this thing's going through their heads. Man, living, we're going to get thrown in a fiery furnace. This is going to hurt. for a little bit. You know, these rocks, they really hurt. This is no fun. I'm not having fun. This is not a good time. This is a bad day. This is a really bad day. But let's look at it real closely. They had some things. All three of these instances had some things that correlate with each other. Number one, they had something to believe in. They had a God who had delivered them from who knows what. Stephen was saved. Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was born again. And then you got the three Hebrew children who had seen a God who had done amazing miracles in the land of Israel. And they got something to believe in. They have a God that they can believe in. They have something that they know is true and that they know is right. Don't we? We do. We have a Bible. We have the Bible. We've seen the Word of God. We've seen Him work small miracles like Jessica's trip home and small answers to prayer that have happened. Jeff's boldness witnessing to his dad. That's a blessing. It has to be done. And standing up for the truth, we need to stand up for the truth. We can't get discouraged. This is not the time to leave the playing field. We all need each other. And we all need to encourage one another. But they had something they believed in. And we have a God that's alive and real and true that we can believe in. We have a book that we know is right. And we can share this without fear of man. Number two, they spoke the truth with boldness. They didn't care. They didn't care. Here, Paul got stoned. They left him for dead. He gets up and goes back into the town. He's nuts. Why would you go back in there with all the people that just... I got to go home. You know, how many of us would say, oh, take me home, please? You know, really? This guy just got pelted with rocks. Unbelievable, and they thought he was dead. He gets up and goes back into the town. That's... But he had the truth, he had boldness, and he had something he believed in. What I'm saying is right, what I'm saying is true, and these people have to hear it whether they like it or not. Number three, they weren't afraid of man. They spoke at these, they're in front of a king, and they said, well, I don't care, king, whatever you say and whatever you do, we're not going to bow down and worship your gods. With all due respect. And this guy, it says he was mad. He wasn't hearing what they're saying. He just wanted to see them bow down. If they didn't bow down, the end of the furnace, man. You're dead. You're fried. You're gone. I don't want to hear it. You don't want to worship me? Who is this God that's going to deliver you? But they knew they had a God that would deliver them. Either way, if they died in the furnace, they go to heaven or paradise. Well, you know, so what? Boy, what a sacrifice there. Then they were willing to die for what they believed. Do we feel that way? You know, if a bunch of Muslims came in the door right now and threatened you, denied Christ or die, would we? Do we believe it that much? If you don't stop preaching that Bible, You're gonna lose your job. Do we believe it? Are we willing to stand up for it? No matter what? Do we have a God that can make up the difference? Do we have a God that... Do we believe it? Do we really believe it in our hearts? The last one, none of them quit. It doesn't say anything about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on their way to the fiery furnace going, oh, I don't know about this. Maybe. What do you think, guys? You think you want to go through with this or not? It doesn't say that. They just went. They trusted God. They didn't quit. Paul gets up and goes back into the town, and the next day he's on to another town, sharing the gospel with a bunch of other people. He didn't quit. I know a pastor that he had started a church, and he just the church had grown and was going gangbusters. They started, you know, getting into the parades and handing out tracts, and the town knew about the church, and they were witnessing and getting the gospel out to people and getting the gospel out. And one Saturday night, he gets a knock at the door, and here's the deacons. They come in and say, "Oh, Pastor, we're really thankful for what you've done and how you've grown this church, and we're really going great for the Lord right now, but we're going to have to ask you to leave." Like, pow! And that weekend, he and his wife went to that passion play. It was Easter time. And he's sitting in the crowd watching this play, and as it's going on, they get to the part where he's coming into the city riding on the donkey, and they're throwing the clothing and the palm leaves in front of him, and they're saying, "Hail, you know, hail the Messiah," and all the thing, you know, all the things they're saying to Christ. And this pastor is sitting out there saying, "Those are the same people. You knew it, that those are the same people who are going to crucify you. Those are the same people who are going to beat you and spit on you and rip the hair out of your face." And he said, he goes, "I heard a voice and said, yeah, but I didn't quit." Where are we? Do we believe it that we would die for it? Do we believe it that we'd continue going on for Christ no matter what? These three stories are all in that regard. These people never gave up. They had something they believed in. They preached it with boldness in front of whoever it was, and they were willing to go and die for it. And one thing I noticed here too, while I was reading this, I just noticed this afternoon. In every passage, there was, let's see, Acts 14:19 with Paul, it says, "And there were certain Jews." And Acts 6:9 with Stephen, "And there were certain of the synagogue." And Daniel 3:8 with the three Hebrew children, "There were certain Chaldeans." And the word "certain" means sure, true, undoubted, unquestionable. You can stand by it. As soon as you start witnessing for Christ, as soon as you start standing for the truth, as soon as you start telling people about Christ and the Word of God and taking a stand for it, there's going to be certain people that show up and are going to be against what you're doing. And you know who sent those people? A certain devil. A certain Satan. "Hey, you got to stop this guy. He's telling them the truth." You know, that isn't the voice they hear, but they don't like what you're saying for some odd reason. But certainly, there's going to be somebody, some certain individuals that show up, and they don't like you're not doing it the right way, or you're using the wrong Bible. Well, in the Greek, you know, in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic, in the Norwegian, in the, you know, wherever, you know, it's whatever Bible they're using that week. But you can be certain, if you stand for the truth, somebody's going to show up. Some certain person is going to show up and go against what you're saying to get you in trouble. So what can we learn? What three things that we can learn from these stories? First thing, go ahead and go back. That's from Paul. Go ahead and go back. He got done. He got stoned. He was left for dead. He went back into the city, and the next day he went ahead to the next town and witnessed and told the people about Christ and had a glorious time in the next town. And the next day he went back where he got stoned, so he could strengthen the Christians and the believers that were there. So go ahead and go back. Don't let it stop you. Don't let those certain people stop you from doing right. We have a God that will stand beside you and give you the strength and make things work out And you, it may not work out right at that time. It may not work out the way you think it is, or you know, like I did at work this past week when God was trying to answer my prayer and I kept getting in His way. If we step back and let God work, say, God, I was telling Him the truth. I was doing, standing up for what was right and doing it what You asked me to do. He knows that. And he's just sitting up there going, don't worry, it's coming back. We'll get you back. But go ahead and go back. Go on to the next person. And you can come back to that person, and who knows what's happened in that person's life between the time they stoned you or threw you under the bus, so to speak, and when you come back. Maybe they're ready to hear what you got to say. Maybe something's different. Maybe something's stuck in their craw and they can't get it out of their heart. So go ahead and go back. Next thing we can learn, the Lord's going to receive the glory out of this. We're not in this for us. We're not in this for the $1,500 suit on the TV camera. We're not in this for a trophy or an award or a reward. We do this because of what He did for us. This is for Him. How can we not? We were dying in our sins. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And He rescued us. Some of us from lives that we can't even tell the stories. And some of the stories we probably won't tell and shouldn't tell. And we can glorify Him for that. And the reason we go out and tell others about it, and the reason we witness about the Word of God and tell them about Christ is because of what He can do for them. We are witnesses of that very thing that He can do for them. The next thing we can learn, you don't know whose life you will affect by how you respond. When those certain people show up and start casting stones or are going to throw you in the furnace or throw you under the bus, how you react could affect other people. How do you think, how Stephen reacted? He was standing there knowing he was going to get stoned. Knowing it. And he was looking up into heaven. They said he had the face of an angel. And he was going to get rocks thrown at him. I'd be looking for something to hide behind. But he stood there knowing what he had was right. And who was standing right there watching this? There's Paul, Saul, standing there. They're laying all the clothes at his feet, and he's watching this guy. And how could you not say, this guy's got something? He's standing there. He's just standing there. He's not doing anything. He's getting hit with rocks. But he's still looking up in the, sky. And he's got a smile on his face. And then he says, lay not this sin to their charge. What has he got? What has this guy got? And through how Stephen reacted, what if he would have started picking up the rocks and chucking them back at him? Ha ha ha! Take that, huh? It's like dodgeball, playing dodge rock, you know? Ha ha! Ooh, you missed! Boom! You know? But no, he just stood there and took it. And then he fell asleep. I think about these things. I get them in my mind. I just picture him getting pelted with rocks, and all of a sudden he just lays down on the ground and goes to sleep. I mean, that's what I picture going to sleep. Well, they kept throwing rocks at him. What does Christ say to him on the way to Damascus? It's hard to kick against the pricks. You saw what that happened to that guy and how he reacted. Through Stephen's reaction, he affected the life of Saul. And God could speak to his heart. How about Paul? Through his reaction, imagine the effect. They left him for dead, and all of a sudden here he comes walking back into town again. And they're like, oh boy, we sure got hit. What is this? The effect. I mean, this is the fact. He came back into the town, and they know within their minds, just like I was thinking, I wouldn't go back into that town. Are you nuts? And here he comes right back into town again. Are you just passing through? No, I'll spend the night, and then I'll leave in the morning. But the effect he had on those people in that town, just by him coming back into town, unfazed. I'm sure he had a few bumps and bruises and a little bit of blood. But here, and then he went on, and he had effect on the Gentiles. He had effect on the Jews. And the disciples standing around him when he woke back up and went back into town. You know, what are you're going to go back in there? Yep, I'm going in. That's why do you think God wanted him on his side? The guy was tenacious. He was just like, let me at him. And here he gets rocks thrown at him. He gets up and goes right back in. That's the guy you want on your football team, right? Put him in there. Here, put your head back on. Okay, get in there. But the effect he had on people because of the way he reacted to what he went through. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they impacted a king and a whole country for God. Because they didn't back down. Because of the way they reacted, they went into the furnace willingly. And when they came out, they didn't even smell of smoke. And that king was just like, you got the God. I want to know that God. We're going to worship this God. Knock that idol down. This is the God. This is the guy right here. We're going to worship him. Tell me about your God. And then you got Jesus, and he just read these guys the riot acts, and he affected all of mankind. All that Christ went through at the cross, and all that he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have quit. He could have walked away. Where would we be? We'd have no hope. But by what he did, he didn't give up when they whipped him. He didn't give up when they spit in his face, or when they ripped his beard out, or when they kicked him and punched him and beat him and carried that cross and nailed his hands in, nailed it, dropped it in. He didn't give up. And he affected all of mankind. So three things. Go ahead and go back. The Lord is going to receive the glory. We're not in this for us. We're in this for Him. And you don't know whose life you're going to affect by how you react. Now, three things that we can't do, that we can learn from this, that we cannot do. Turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Verse 7. Hearken unto me, that ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. You know, words can hurt. But if you're standing for the truth, what is it that they can say that would make you turn tail and run? How bad does it have to get? How bad does it really need to get? The guys that go street preaching or witnessing, guys that were down with the people, all of you, I think everybody in here that I can see participated in the Super Bowl at one time or another. Did anybody say anything to you that made you want to quit? No. What's the worst thing they could have done to us? They could have kicked us out. Oh, big deal. They could have arrested us, sent us to jail. So? Jails are nice right now. They really are. They're like hotels, take my word for it. Parts of them are. But really, what's the worst thing that could have... They weren't going to lay us down on the ground and beat us to death. They weren't going to sit there. They weren't going to take us out and stone us. They weren't going to throw us in a fiery furnace. The worst you're going to get is three hots and a cot. Right? In jail. They serve you food. They get a place to stay. And you get to hang out with all these people. It's just, it's a great place. It's awesome. It's just great. Some of these guys are in there and all their buddies are there. They think they made reservations. It's unbelievable. Hey, man, what's going on? I don't remember you from last year. I'm sorry, I went off the bat. But we cannot fear man. What's the worst thing they can do to us here in America? Really, you think about it, there's really nothing they can really do to us that should hinder us at all. What's his name? Tim Smith. Remember from Menominee, that missionary? He was a missionary to the Russian tribes, the real cold area, and he got kicked out because he was in a small village with the Russian mafia hung out there. He had Russian mafia guys showing up at his house at midnight wanting to know about his God. But they eventually kicked him out. And he went into Russia, and he got on this train, he didn't have a pass. And they arrested him and threw him in jail because he didn't have a ticket to be on that train. And they threw him in jail, and what did he do? He sat in there and started singing hymns. He started singing hymns to the top of his lungs. The next morning they came up, unlocked his door, said, you got to get out of here. We don't want you around anymore. So they let him go. Praise the Lord. He was, as the last I heard, he was going to one of the stands, you know, the country, Uzbekistan, or one of those stands over there, to be a missionary. And those are not easy countries to be a witness in. And I haven't heard anymore, so I don't know. But the Lord, we can't fear man. They don't do that. They don't stone people anymore. They don't. Well, maybe in foreign countries they do. Muslim countries, they cut off heads and burn people and do those things, but not here in America. So don't be afraid to go out street preaching on Friday. You're hanging out with Jeff. He'll take care of you. But more importantly, you're going to be preaching the truth. And you can be certain, or you can be know for a fact, that certain people are going to come up, those certains that don't like what you're doing, but God does. That's all that matters. We cannot fear man. Psalm 118, 5 and 6, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can they do? Nothing. They can fire me from my job. Don't you think God can make up the difference? Don't you think he can pay the bills? Don't you think he can get you a better paying job or something else? Yes, he can. We're so worried about the paycheck coming in, but God will take care of it. I've seen it happen. He makes up the difference. He takes care of you if you're doing what's right. Cannot fear man. Number two, what we mustn't do, forget who we serve. We serve a God that's merciful. We don't deserve what He gave us. But yet, every day, He thinks about each and every one of us individually on a regular basis. That's unbelievable. And like you mentioned before, all of us could be praying at the same time and He'd hear each one of us as an individual. When we're in heaven, another one of my thinking things, in heaven, we want to take a walk with Christ, we can. Every one of us can do it at the same time. Isn't that right? I mean, He's God. He can do whatever He wants. We can walk with Him and talk with Him at the same time about what we're doing. And it'd be just like we're walking with Him by ourselves. That's just amazing. I don't know. That's just me thinking. We serve a loving God. We serve a kind God and Savior. We have a gracious God. We have an all-powerful God. We have an all-knowing God. We have a God that is alive. I have two Muslims on my crew right now, and they have nothing. They have nothing. They got a dead man in a grave. That's all they got. And if you don't believe like I do, I'm going to cut your head off. Wow, what a great religion. I want to be a part of that. I could kill people all in the name for nothing. We serve a God that's alive, and He can take care of us. He hears and answers our prayers. Just that verse, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me. They don't have that. They have dead gods. They have dead men. That's it. Every one of them. Joseph Smith, Judge Rutherford, Muhammad, Buddha, they're all dead. They're gone. They have a dead God. They're all dead gods. Nothing. We have a God that's alive. And we can't forget that. We get so comfortable in this life. We have everything we ever wanted. And we get so comfortable in this life that we forget why we're here. Every day we wake up, that means God has a purpose for us and a reason we're here. Last thing, we can't forget where we came from. 1 Corinthians 6:11. If you want to turn over there real quick, I'll just read it. 1 Corinthians 6:11, starting in, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? We have something that they need. And we can't stop. We need to keep going. We can't forget that we were there. Where they're at. And we have the answer. Psalm 40 verse 2 says, and He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. We can't forget that. We can't forget where we came from. That's where they're at, and they need what we have. They need it, and we have to speak up. We have to say something. And I'm speaking to myself more than anybody here tonight. I'm praying for that boldness that Jeff had. I'm praying for that so I can witness these people at work and not fear these guys. They need the gospel. We see people every day. Just hand them a tract. Give them a piece of paper. They can take it or not. But we need to be a witness for Christ. You ever have one of those days? You ever have a bad day at work? Somebody calls you a name? Somebody cussing up a storm? Somebody taking the Lord's name in vain? And it just wears on you. It wears on you, doesn't it? Physically, mentally, spiritually, you're just kind of like, oh, man, this stinks. God knows that. That's why He gave us these examples in the Bible and what they did, how they responded. But we have to go ahead and go back. We've got to remember that we're not in this for ourselves. The Lord's going to get the glory. And you don't know whose life you're going to affect by how you respond and what you say and do. So let's remember those things tonight. Just simple, something simple. Because I'm a simple guy. And I need these simple reminders. You know, and I remember this thing, and I'm done. My senior year in high school, our golf team went to state. I know most of you don't think that's a sport, but and at that time my swing was messed up. My golf coach had messed up my swing. He did. I'm not just making that up. And I could not hit my woods. You know, you got in your set, you got woods and irons. I couldn't hit my woods. And the last round of the state tournament, my dad's following me around. He's like, you know, we're not supposed to be coached, all right? Why aren't you hitting your woods? I said, I can't hit him. He goes, well, why not? I said, well, coach has me hitting him back in my stance. You don't hit him back in your stance. You put him forward in your stance. My dad's getting all ticked off. And he goes, now take your 1-1 out and play it. You know, and he's telling me all this. I had to go back to the basics. The next shot I hit was right down the middle, and I don't know how far it was. I don't even think it's landed yet. It's so hard. No. But I had to go back to the basics, and I got it right because I listened to the one who taught me to begin with. Christ, sometimes we have to take the simple things in life, the simple things in the Bible, and go back to the basics and start over again. And that's where we're at. We have to witness. We can't fear what man's going to do. We got to go forward for Christ, no matter what the cost. Look what these guys went through. They gave up everything for God and for the truth and for the gospel. Why can't we? Why can't I do that on a regular basis? Why am I such a chicken? We need to pray for each other. We need to help each other out. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight.